Blog Talk Radio.
Dreaded sports talk.
Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
All right, everyone. This is indeed Frank and Dredd. I'm here to let you know that it's time for Dreaded Sports. You know, this program started some time ago, a little over 2 years ago now, to be exact, on Key West Show out of Key West, Florida. And I'm making a return to the airwaves. And I tell you, there's some things on my mind that I want to get off my chest straight away. First of all, as everyone probably heard, Bobby Petrino has been fired as the coach of the Arkansas football program. I never liked the guy anyway, so I'm kind of glad this happened. They really dressed him down today in the press conference because the guy had a motorcycle accident and he failed to acknowledge that he had a very young rider on the back of his motorcycle. This is significant for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, he'd been having a relationship with her for quite some time, and he had just hired her to be an assistant in his program. Now, I'm not going to get into all the things surrounding why he got fired, but I just want to say that there's a whole lot of stuff going on with coaches and players and jurisprudence and all those other things right now. But this thing starts off the show, and I have to say, happy trails, Bobby Petrino. I have nothing to really say except happy trails. Dude, what a loser you are. I'll tell you someone that really is not a loser. I'm sure people probably heard ESPN today as Ozzie Guillen faced the most harsh press conference he's ever faced. And a lot of people remember the time when he decided to take a Chicago sports writer and call him a homophobic slur, and several times, all you heard was bleep, 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 bleep on all of his interviews. Well, he really did it this time. He decided that he was going to bring up Fidel Castro. Boy, what a big no-no that was, especially due to the fact that the Marlins just opened up their new stadium, and who knew? They decided to open it up in Little Havana, right down in Miami. And as you know, Ozzie Guillen is Hispanic. He should have known better, but I'm going to give Ozzy some slack, because the truth of the matter is he should have known better, but he absolutely doesn't. He's a manager of a baseball team, folks. He should not have gotten involved on the political side of anything. Here's the thing about Ozzy. In any city that he's in, you might catch him to have a few beers with him, and he'll talk about anything, and he's a pretty wide-open guy. He'll say what's on his mind, usually without thinking. When you say he'll say things on his mind, he says things that shouldn't be on his mind. And this is one of them. He made comments that particular to a lot of Hispanics was saying that he loved, I won't say Adolf Hitler, they're trying to say that it's the fact that he professes love for Fidel Castro, according to the Time article, was likened to the Jews would say about Adolf Hitler, how that would go across. Well, here's the thing. I believe Ozzy is ignorant to those things. I'm glad they finally have straightened him out on that. And I also believe him when he says that it was lost in translation. I do, because yeah, I can see Ozzy having a beer and saying, man, that Castro, man, I love that dude. I mean, wow, everybody hates him. He's such a jerk. He's such a a-hole, but at the same time, he's still alive. Man, I love that guy. You know, and in American conversation, someone could easily just say, well, he was just simply saying he's got staying power. Well, you know what? Castro should be dead. I said it. I don't know how many computers are going to pick up what I just said or otherwise, but that's my point. Ozzy should not have opened up his mouth, but he did. And what I saw today in the news conference on ESPN was a guy who literally wanted to cry. He wanted to cry. He was ashamed of what he said, and he should have been. He should never have been put into that position, and I feel very bad for the guy. I really do. I feel very bad for him. Because this is one of those times you talk about contrition that was Ozzy all the way. He never apologizes for things that he says. This time he did. He was suspended for 5 days without pay, and now for the next 5-10 years, believe me, they are not going to let this thing drop because generationally speaking, the older Cuban Americans who lived in Cuba, who lost their land and belongings and still have family there that they can't even see or haven't seen for decades, they're not going to let it go. But I'm letting it go. Ozzy, I'm giving you a benefit of the doubt. Do your thing, and I hope you learn from this. Someone who I also hope learns from something that has occurred is Sean Payton. Yeah, that's Sean Payton, the percussion playing for Jimmy Buffett dude from New Orleans who was the coach, and still is, but just not for this season, the coach of the New Orleans Saints. Where he ran afoul of the whole process was that he allowed his defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, to administer a bounty program, one where the Saints players dove out money for hits that knocked out opposing players. And, you know, I was thinking back to two seasons ago when Brett Favre was bludgeoned in that game when they played the Vikings. And now I can understand what was going on. Sean Payton, yeah, I understand you're a hardcore football coach, but what were you thinking, man? Really? Just the same thing with Bobby Petrino. What you did was you failed to disclose what was really going on. So your punishment, I feel, is justified. And I think what this does is set back the New Orleans franchise quite a bit. They had high hopes this year. They really did. But now they have to find an interim coach. Bill Parcells is not interested in coming there now. And they find themselves in a whole mess, a whole heap of trouble. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Joe Vitt more than likely is going to become the assistant coach, and I don't know. I'm kind of nonplussed by the whole thing because that's just another NFC team that won't get in the way of the Bears finding a spot where they belong. That's how I have to look at it. But Sean Payton, enjoy your year off of football, and I hope you learned a lesson, and may you play many concerts or sit in with Jimmy Buffett. That was quite cool to find out. That he sat in with Jimmy Buffett and played percussion. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures of that, but it happened. Okay. I was kind of hoping that on this particular evening that it would be like riding a bike. It kind of is. It kind of isn't. I was hoping that from the old ship, the trusty first mate Ken would make an appearance. And right on time, I see that he has. I think he's probably out on a lifeboat or something like that. But, you know, Ken, it's been a while since we've taken to the airwaves. How have you been doing, man?
Oh, I've been doing good.
That's good. I know you're happy. I mean, you look at your Rangers, and as we'll talk about a little bit later, even the Mets have mustered up a bunch of wins. Who knew that was going to happen?
The big surprise in the New York area is that the Mets 4-0 start, playing real good baseball. I have to check the final score. I think they lost tonight, but still, that's the big surprise of the of this area.
You think they can handle Vancouver?
The Rangers, yeah, it'll be a good series, but you get the two of the top goaltenders with Luongo and Lundqvist. Two teams that play good defense. Two teams that don't score a lot, but you know, just enough to win. It would be a good final. The thing with hockey is, you can have your President's Cup winner, your conference champions. The team that wins the cup very seldom is the team that wins the President's Trophy. President's Trophy is the little award they give for the most points overall in the league, which Vancouver won by 2 points. So if it went to Rangers-Vancouver in the finals, the Vancouver would have the home ice advantage.
Yeah, but don't forget the Blackhawks aren't out of it yet.
Yeah.
You knew I was going to bring that up. But. So I was just kind of like going over the whole Bobby Petrino thing, and it happened at Arkansas. Man, you have anything to add on that situation? I mean, the dude's been fired. I personally think that he deserved it, especially the way he left Atlanta high and dry.
Yeah, it's almost like what comes around goes around. He got I agree with you. He just left them holding the bag. He deserved it. You know, you have to have a certain reputation, a certain stature to uphold, and you know, he didn't do it. So the university had every right to let him go. And I guess one has nothing to do with the other. But yeah, the way he left Atlanta, sitting there a few years ago, kind of deserved it.
I think that it kind of does have a connection because the thing a lot of people don't remember is how he left Louisville when he was there, headed to the Falcons. He deceived people there, kind of just took off on them, and again, with the Falcons, he's like, oh, I don't have Michael Vick, so then I'm out of here. Well,
yeah.
And then now this happened, and I was kind of wondering, what would that young volleyball player, former volleyball player, want with Bobby Petrino? And you know, the truth came out. He gave him $20,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's neither here nor there, but everyone seems to be getting in trouble. I mean, then there's Oz again. I'm sure you have some things to say on that.
It's not really, I mean, I do, but he kind of thought this was going to happen. That he was going to say something dumb, or you know, but not. He barely made it back from his first road trip, and before the threat of being fired, he's lucky he wasn't fired. You know, or he deserved that too. And there's going to be more. You know, being a Twins fan and seeing him when he was with the White Sox for all them years, it wasn't a surprise. There'll be more. He'll put his foot in his mouth. He'll say something again. He'll start tweeting from the dugout like he did the one time he got suspended. He just doesn't learn. I don't know. It's just, you know.
I just have a problem with the fact that they expect the manager of a baseball team, especially, I mean, they knew. I mean, he's a loose cannon. And the thing I do love about Ozzy, he always gives you exactly where he stands on things. And he was very ignorant to the whole thing. Yes. I know what people are saying. Oh, how can anyone be so stupid? Well, because he's stupid, okay? But at the same time, the thing that he done about Ozzy is this is the time where he really realizes he messed up. So I say when he comes back in his 5 games, let it go, all right? Let's play baseball, all right? Really. Yeah, they're trying to turn it into this big political thing, and I'm sorry. You're telling me that Ozzy Guillen has that much power that he could cause such a disruption, and
yeah.
So, but then there's Sean Payton. I mean, he's got the right idea. He knows he messed up, and yet he found enough time to go and play percussion with Jimmy Buffett. So, I guess the leader is going to have to be Drew Brees this year, who is ...
the greatest fantasy quarterback of all time.
Yes, I believe that to be the case. We'll see how that all plays.
That's a mess down there. You know, that was a team with so much. I mean, they could still win, but when too much too many disruptions. The coach, you know, the coaching staff. It's just a lot of attention being brought on them, and it's going to be hard. I personally still think he's going to find ways around the rules to, you know, get notes, get things to the players. I mean, granted, he can't be there on the sideline on Sundays, but there's really no way the league can monitor him, you know, 24/7 and keep him totally away. I still think he's going to find his ways to get his input into the game plan, into the system. I just can't see him walking away, you know, totally like that. I just don't get it.
He could do like everyone else, and that is, he could go down to Family Dollar or Walmart and get one of those throwaway phones, and
yeah.
You only have to register your name and can make phone calls. And because I'm pretty sure, and I found out recently that what they do when they suspend someone, they can subpoena. They have their FBI guys that work for the NFL, and they can ask for your phone records.
Yeah, yeah.
He could set, but see, if he was smart, what he would do is set himself up a fake Facebook account and just, I don't know what we're going to see about that. But and it's good to be back today. What we're going to do is play a little music by Doug Walker. This one is called Elements, and we'll be back in about 6 whole minutes as we continue down to hit all the high spots of football and, did I mention, it's baseball season. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on Ship to Shore Radio. This is Frank and Dredd along with Ken from Jersey. Yes, we're back. chat with Doug Walker, also a host here at Ship to Shore Radio. He has Doug Up Radio on Monday nights. He's on spring break right now. Always glad to play some tunes by Doug. And I think also in the show we might even get some music in by Danny Hoy. So keep listening in, and we got some stuff to tell you. And I'm sure everyone was just talking a couple of weeks ago about that big, big, big transaction that Denver made. Well, actually, there were two, if you want to think about it, because who in the world could surpass the Tim Tebow mania than bringing in Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning, arguably, Ken, is the biggest free agent ever in the history of the NFL. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree 100%. It's he's by far the biggest fish out there, and I was a little shocked that he went to Denver. I kept hearing all the reports he's going to go to a warm weather place, a team that's got a chance to win right away, and they were talking Miami, Arizona, and he goes to probably one of the coldest weather city that he was, you know, had a possibility of going to.
I agree with you, but I think the thing that made him go to Denver is John Elway, one of his golfing buddies, was also his idol. A lot of people didn't remember that part about it, and I understood, too, that as soon as it looked as if there was even a possibility that the Colts were not going to give him that $28 million and knew they were going to get Andrew Luck, which is coming up by discussion a little bit later on, I think it came down to this. The Colts said, well, you know what? If we get rid of him, he's injured, people won't get on us so badly, and we're in rebuilding mode, we have a new coach, why not just start with a clean slate? And besides, I could use that $28 million. Elway, by all accounts, as soon as there was even a chance that Manning was not going to go back to the Colts, he made a phone call. He was the first one to engage with Manning and say, dude, I'd really like to have you. Don't worry about Tebow. He's still on his knees someplace, so don't worry about it. You know? But from all accounts already, even Eric Decker was talking about how Peyton Manning has already changed the culture, how he is so meticulous and so hardcore about his preparations. I think that bringing in Tammy also from the Colts is going to help give some cohesion. I think you're going to see a lot of tight end passes this year because Tammy, here's the thing about Peyton Manning. He does things so precisely, the receivers are going to learn their routes, and he throws the ball where you're supposed to be. If you don't catch the ball, it's because you weren't there. And to be honest, that's kind of the way, that's how good Peyton Manning really is in his preparations. But he brings such professionalism that my understanding is even the water boy's not going to drop a drop of water this year. I mean, but back to what you were saying, Ken, I think the reason he went to Denver is reasons of John Elway and the fact that they were willing to let him bring his system in and let him run the show. Who wouldn't? Well, that's the problem. The 49ers, they have their thing. They weren't willing to change. The Cardinals weren't willing to change. No one was willing to let Peyton be Peyton but the Broncos. And he looked at it like this. Hey, man, I only have to beat the Chargers and the Raiders and the Chiefs. But if he went to the 49ers, he's got to worry about the Cardinals, who beat them last year. The Seahawks are going to be much, 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 much better. The Rams are still going to suck, but they...
They'll be better, no, but they're still, yeah.
Exactly. And then the Dolphins, they're going nowhere. In fact, they're sinking faster than Ozzie Guillen's coaching career. That's what I think. But, yeah, Peyton Manning, I was going to step right out there right now and tell you, Ken, I absolutely, positively would not be surprised if the Broncos didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And the reason I say that is because of their defense and because of the fact that now all their potential, John Fox and the coach, they just really have something really going for them. And they rode Tebow as far as they could. I agree. Whatever happened with him happened last year, and people are T-boying all over the place, and that's great. But John Elway came back to win a championship, and if it's on his watch. So if he felt that Peyton Manning is the guy that can take him to the promised land, then give the guy a lamp and let him go, find his way. So the man's got balls. how many general managers would have discarded Tebow like that? You know what I mean? You've got this guy filling the seats, and everybody thinks he's a savior and all this other stuff. But the only guy that was available who could have eclipsed Tim Tebow, he went out and got. So my hat's off to John Elway.
I think I was hoping to quiet the Tebow stuff down, but now with him being with the Jets, if that's in my area, I'm going to be seeing this guy all season long. I think the Jets made a mistake by bringing him in, because now they just reproduced the situation that happened in Denver. You know, they had Kyle Orton. He wasn't playing well. Tebow was the fan favorite. It's just going to put pressure on the Jets organization if Sanchez falters at the beginning of the season or in training camp in any of the exhibition games. If he's off to a slow start, you're going to hear, Tebow. It's just going to make for more of a circus than they already have going on in that clubhouse with Santonio Holmes and the whole mess there as it is. Then you're going to start getting the guys back in Tebow, because apparently Sanchez is already at odds with a few of the guys on the team now, and I don't think it's going to make the situation better. I think it's just going to make it a little bit worse.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've looked at this too or heard the press conferences, but what I got, like Tannenbaum, general manager, what he said is the true story. He said, well, he's going to be our package quarterback. And they kept asking, well, how many reps will he get, blah, 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 blah. He says, well, it's not going to be anything that's scripted. And they were saying, well, what happens if there's a three and out, like three and outs, and you bring Tebow in for his wildcat package, and he throws a couple times out of it, and the team's moving, what are you going to do? And Tannenbaum said, well, it's obvious that if that package is working, we'll just stick with it during the game. So that tells you they're pretty slick about this, Ken. They know that instead of bringing him off the bench, they could just tell Sanchez, well, that package was moving, and then, well, that's just how we decided to go for this game, but you're still the starter. They can do that half the season, but somehow I'm getting the feeling that Tebow's going to be the starting quarterback by about game 9.
It could happen. It's going to be an interesting season. Sanchez doesn't have the support of a lot of the players in that room, so, they might not play hard for him. They may have a separate agenda trying to get Tebow, in the lineup on a full-time basis.
We're going to see what happens, but I know that the other part of Tebow that we're going to find out about, too, is he's supposed to be this big role model. Well, no one escapes the Big Apple without some indiscretion. So next thing you know, he's going to be down in 42nd Street. You never know. So we'll see what happens. But then you talk about the two quarterbacks coming in, Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III. So here's my thing. They keep talking about how Luck is just like Manning, and he is so precise in his preparations, and he knows these things. He checks down and does all this stuff, and he's a leader. I think it's a mistake to take a player coming into the NFL and saying that he's a can't-miss star, because I don't care who you are. Those reps and things, the speed of the game changes, and Luck has not played in the NFL yet. And from what I'm seeing, the Colts are not going to be able to protect him. They're in influx right now, and we're just going to see what happens. Whereas if I were starting a team from scratch, and I want you to think about this because you're up next on this one, I would take RG3 because not only can he throw the ball, but you may want someone who can make plays happen, someone who's, well, quite frankly, they're both intellectually are on the same level, and they both have great arm strength, and they're really great athletes. But the Colts, they're stupid for acting as if, well, we don't know who we're going to pick. Everybody knows they sucked for Luck all season.
Yeah.
So, if you were the Colts, who would you pick?
That's a tough question. I would probably, I don't know. I was thinking Luck all along, but Griffin is kind of like the same style as a Cam Newton, and I wasn't so sure how he was going to play, but he convinced me that he's the real deal. I don't know. I might go with Griffin because you have that guy that, like you said, that can get out of the pocket, can avoid the rush. If nobody's open, he can pull down, he can run. Luck is going to be standing in the pocket. Is with a poor offensive line. It may not be an easy transition for him. You know, I know he ran the same type of offense at Stanford, but at Stanford, this is the NFL. These guys are bigger, quicker, you know, stronger. He could be looking at a season and getting pounded pretty hard, whereas Griffin is going to be able to maybe take it outside, pull it down, take it up the middle, you know, make something out of nothing and avoid some of those hits.
Yep, you're so right. And, Ken, I am going to attempt fantasy football this year, and I'm going to tell you, if I get a chance to draft either one, I'm picking RG3 because I'm going to tell you right now, as far as stats are concerned, I think he's going to have much better stats.
Probably. I wish I had more confidence. Well, I couldn't have gotten any better than Breeze, but, you know, the guys who drafted fantasy-wise drafted Cam Newton in both leagues I was in. He was picked and used. They picked him late. They got a superstar late. And it was a good foresight on their part.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you, if you get a chance to pick Peyton Manning, too, in any league, I'd pick him, too. But Breeze, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that Breeze is
the greatest fantasy quarterback ever.
And don't forget that, because Aaron Foster's going to have a heck of a year, too. So, I mean, that pretty much handles it for football, because we need to get on the baseball a bit here. But I would just say the 49ers, overall, in the NFC, they are very much to be – you've got to watch out for them. They even picked up Jacobs from the Giants, man. What did you think about that move?
Well, they picked up Jacobs and Mario Manningham. They're trying to steal all the Giants away. Mr. Eager, maybe that'll help.
Yeah, and then they get Randy Moss.
yeah. So whatever good they got is going to go be shot down. Cause it seems like every team Moss has played for in the last couple of years of his career has just gone down the tubes ever since he gets there. It's just, I think he's another guy, like a cancer in the clubhouse, divides the clubhouse. His best days are behind him. He's not young anymore either. I don't know. I'm really surprised that San Francisco went that way because it's just going to be a little more, in a way, potential controversy going on. They re-signed Ted Ginn Jr. They've had receivers there. They have the, and Jacobs is going to be another one. Jacobs wants the ball. He complains when he doesn't get the ball. But Frank Gore is, you know, the number one man there, unless all of a sudden he just, you know, goes down the tubes in training camp and in the exhibition games. But Jacobs is going to be the short yards back. And even in the short yards back with the Giants, he didn't do a good job. A guy that big, he was hurt a lot, and he wasn't good in short yards. So there's really no reason to have him on your team. That's why, you know, the Giants, so you want to go ahead. I think they were tired of his mouth in the clubhouse, too.
Yeah, I tell you, though, thing about Frank Gore is he's often injured, and that may be a consideration, too. But Jacobs, I couldn't even believe the times they were swinging him out on screen passes. Really? Just give the guy the ball and let him bowl people over. And as big as he is, he should have bowled people all the way into Newark. So we're going to see what happens. But thing is, what do you think the prospects are for the Giants winning it all over, winning again this year?
It's so hard to repeat. I don't, from what I'm looking at, they haven't lost a lot of key players to free agency. I mean, Manningham was, he wasn't one of their top, he was their third receiver. They haven't signed anybody, but they could draft somebody. I don't see him as being a big loss. I mean, they have a chance, but it's so hard. Once you win, that target's on your back. Everybody's going to be, you know, looking for him. They're not going to surprise many people now. You know, as long as Eli Manning keeps progressing, taking that next step up, they should be, they'll be contenders. As far as winning it, But the Packers are still going to be good. The 49ers are still going to be good. You got a lot of teams that are, you know, going to take a step up and, be, and like I said, looking for them. So it's hard to repeat. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll make the playoffs. But, you know, from there, you never know what injuries and, like, look at the end. I really thought the Texans would have been a team to, in fact, if we went back and listened to the archive show, I actually said, I think the Texans would be my surprise pick to make it to the Super Bowl from the AFC, and then I must have put the whammy on them because the next week, Schaub went down with the injury, and that kind of, you know, they still hung in there after that, but once you got to the playoffs and you need that experienced quarterback, that's where it caught up. Arian Foster, and, you know, can only do so much, but as long as Schaub is healthy, I think that that team's going to be a contender.
That's the thing. Well, just at the last minute, I thought, well, the Texans were going to jump in. Just imagine if Peyton Manning had gone there. It would have been all over with. There's no way I wouldn't have picked the Texans to win it all.
Yeah, because they have the ready-made receivers. You know, Andre Johnson, they have a you know good core receivers. They have the running backs. They have two good tight ends. That would have been an unbelievable situation for him.
But he's with the Broncos, and we're going to see what happens. We're going to take a little short break here, and we're going to come back and hit baseball for about 15 minutes or so just to tell everybody that and make sure that they realize we are very, very happy that, yes, it's baseball season. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk here on Ship to Shore Radio. And, yes, that was a quick 5 minutes. We're about now in time about to discuss the most important sport in American sport in American social existence. That's baseball. Well, man, so far I just can't believe it. I mean, the Mets actually are acting like they may have something. Is it a mirage? Is it way too early in the season?
I thought they would be better than what people were saying. I know they've had their financial problems. They've been non-existent in the free agent market. But I thought they would be, I thought they'd be a middle-of-the-road team. I didn't think they'd be, you know, a contender, but I didn't think they'd be awful either. They lost tonight to Washington 6-2, but still they have a 4-1 record. And the pitching has been good. Santana pitched, you know, pretty good opening day. Pelfrey pitched well yesterday, didn't get the win, but they came back and won the game after he was out. I said they're not going to be a contender, but they're not going to be as bad as everybody thought. And once they get this Madoff thing behind them, can spend some money, you know, you can fix a baseball team quick with free agency. And they, you know, player here, player there, and they may not be so bad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that situation. As far as surprises this year so far, I got to tell you, the Detroit Tigers, they look as advertised. They made some really great deals. They did. And I say deals because when Prince Peter is big enough to be two players, so they made deals. But, people are saying the Tigers are going to win it all. And here's the thing. Just as we go through the two leagues, in the American League, who are your two main teams who would you, if you had to pick two teams, perhaps, to win it all this year, who would be your American League teams to do so?
I would probably say, based on what I've seen so far early, the Texas Rangers.
So you think
Angels, I know everybody's picking the Angels, and their pitching staff is, you know, it's really, really good. But I can see some shortcomings with the bat. You know, Pujols is a good player, but then you got guys starting to get up there in age a little bit. You know, Torii Hunter is not what he used to be. Vernon Wells actually has been reduced to kind of a platoon player. I don't think he batted much over 200 last year, and he's off to an awful start this year. Howie Kendrick, Kendry Morales is the big surprise. He's back. I don't know if you remember, it was September 2010. He hit a walk-off home run, and he got the home plate, and everybody was out of the dugout ready to, you know, give him the high five and pound him on the back and all. And he jumped up in the air and landed to, like, just kind of stomp on home plate, and everybody piled on him. And
yes,
he broke his ankle, and he actually missed all of last year. And he's back this year, and he's not doing the bad job. He seems like he's kind of came back to where he left off. He's been hitting the ball, but I can see them not winning it because of their hitting, but their pitching is going to be phenomenal.
Well, we're going to see about that. So, American League, if you had to hedge your bets, who would be the one team, though? Definitely, if someone asked you today and they were putting up the money for you to bet on it, who would be the team that you would pick today to win it all, to win the pennant in the American League?
I'd go with Texas, definitely.
I'm going with the Tigers. I do. I think the Detroit Tigers are a team to watch out for in the American League. Now let's talk National League. Who is that team that you really believe has the best shot of going to the World Series?
I would have said the Phillies, but I'm kind of leaning away from them. And maybe with the Cardinals again.
The Cardinals, I hate it. They have a little something this year. And what I'm about to tell you, you're going to say, wow, you've been off the show for a while, you've been on vacation, you've just been a chef all this time, and you're off your rocker. But I will tell you right now, by the end of the season, the Marlins are going to be in the mix. I say that because I want to wait and see if Reyes gets hurt or not. If he doesn't get hurt, and if someone doesn't burn Ozzy about his body with Cuban cigars and makes him cry uncle and quit, I truly believe in an ensuing program, maybe as early as next week, I'll give you all my reasons why I say beware of the Marlins. But part of it has to do with pitching. Yes, Zambrano's there, and I know all about all that. And they have Johnson, and they have Burley. Those are three reasons, based on how they play, will have a lot to do with how the Marlins will end up. That's just an assessment. Yes, I know you think I'm crazy, but just wait and see what happens. Just wait and see what happens. It's like, well, another thing I want to see what happens during the season is to see how Ryan Braun is going to be taken city to city. Can you imagine the jokes? I mean, so in your estimation, what is your opinion of Ryan Braun with his drug tests and what has happened? Do you think that he should just shut his mouth because he just got lucky with...
Yeah, exactly. I think he was proven... I mean, he wasn't suspended. That was reduced. That was actually, you know, wiped out, but it didn't necessarily mean he wasn't guilty. It was he got off on a technicality, and I think there was something to that. We'll see what his numbers are, how he does this year, but to me, there's still that unknown. And if I had to say what I thought, I would think that he definitely was, you know, on something.
I agree with you, Ken, and my problem with him is this. He started opening up his mouth and saying, well, if people knew the truth, then they would not be saying these things. Well, when is he going to tell us what happened? He said, when people know what happened. Well, he hasn't told us what happened. Why did they try this whole tactic in the very beginning? Oh, when they know why his test would be different. Well, Ken, have you heard any explanation of what might have happened or why his test was positive in the first place? There's no disputing that it was positive. It's just that allegedly his procedure wasn't handled. Really? So his A sample and B sample came out that it had elevated testosterone. That tells me he's a cheater. He is a Manny Ramirez. I think there should be the Manny Ramirez You're an Idiot trophy every year now. personally, I have no respect for Ryan Braun, and I probably am not the rest of the way. Now, who's the biggest free agent pickup who have the most impact? I'll give you three persons. Albert Pujols, who's now with the Angels. Philbin, who's with the Tigers. Or Jose Reyes, who's now with the Marlins. Which will be the biggest impact player?
I think Fielder. I just don't have a lot of confidence in Pujols. I know he's a great player, but over the last 3 years, his numbers have slowly gone down. I get the gut feeling that he's not going to work out there in California. Because I've been saying all along they gave him too much money for a guy who's, like I said, his numbers have declined. He's going to be making $27 million a year. On the last year of that deal when he's 40. I think that was a great deal for him, but a foolish deal for the Angels. I could see Fielder making a bigger contribution. You put him in that lineup with the guys they have, with Cabrera and Delmon Young, and they have a Peralta solid lineup. And they're missing the catchers. Martinez is gone for the season. You know, they would have really been unbeatable if he was still there. But I see the biggest splash of all of those three, the biggest contributor would be Prince Fielder. I keep saying Cecil Fielder. I keep thinking of his father.
And they're still not talking. But, yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think Prince Fielder is the guy. And in terms of the new wild card format, the one-game playoff, what do you think about it?
I think it's good. It'll keep more teams interested because now with a one-game playoff, like last year, for example, it took a lot of the dramatics and the drama out of the Yankees and the Red Sox because they both knew they would be in. But if you know you're going to be in as the wild card and it's, you know, a one-game deal, anything could happen. It puts more incentive on trying to win the division, not just, we're going to make it anyway. We'll just, we'll just coast, take that wild card and go from there. Plus, it gives another team an opportunity to get in. I think it'll make for more excitement.
I agree with you. And the thing is, too, the one-game playoff, there are a lot of managerial decisions to make. For instance, who are you going to start? Are you going to start your ace just so you can get in the playoffs, or are you going to decide to use offense? Then you need to think about that. You've been saving your ace for the first game of the playoffs but yet you have to get past this one game. What type of pitcher are you going to put on the mound? I think it's going to bring a lot more excitement to the whole process.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging it. I really am. So at first I was thinking, we spoke on this during a couple of seasons ago of Dreaded Sports Talk about how we were traditionalists and whether it should add a playoff and all these things. But, well, it's here now, so we'll just have to see how it comes. Now is the point where we talk about our favorite teams and how they're doing. I'll start off and tell you that as far as the Cubs are concerned, wait till next year. That's all I have to say.
And the way my team has started off, too, it's getting close to football season. We're 0-4. We scored 6 runs in 4 games. I don't understand. I know spring training is different than the regular season, but the last week of spring training, when they were going against teams' regular pitchers, like they played the Phillies twice in spring training, they beat up on Halliday. They scored 11 runs against the Phillies the next game. They scored 19 against the Rays. 10 in consecutive games against the Pirates. Now they get to the regular season here, and they can't get a hit. Last year they had an excuse. Nobody was there. They were all hurt. Everybody's there. And the only guy who's hitting is the new guy he brought in, Willingham. And a little bit for Morneau. He's got a couple doubles, and he's got his hits. But the rest of the team is just – and this is a bad time to be starting off slow because they got 2 more with the Angels. They get Jared Weaver tomorrow. Then they have the Rangers coming in for 3. Then they go to New York for 4. They got 4 in Tampa. Then they come home with 3 against the Red Sox. So this is a killer month. It's not the time you want to start slow. I would just take it out of April 500. I'd be happy and go from there.
This is going to be interesting, to say the least. That's all I can tell you.
Thank God for fantasy baseball, because it might be the only thing to root for.
I think you'd do pretty good this year, because last year's success, I don't think, well, we'll have to revisit that, too. You had an unbelievable year in fantasy, so I wish you a lot of luck this year. Now, the team I don't wish a lot of luck, you might say they're like our enemies. But let's start off with the Yankees. What's their prognosis and your estimation for this year?
I think they'll probably make playoffs, because the Red Sox aren't. I don't think their pitching is that good, but I don't think they're going to win it, because the Yankee pitching isn't that good. Sabathia, I know it's only one game. He got killed. Nova, Carota. There's too many. Pineda, the guy. That's the move that baffles me. They held on to Jesus Montero. That was their prize. The young player, the catcher, the future. And a lot of teams inquired about him, and the Yankees would not give him up for nothing. All of a sudden, I know they wanted Felix Hernandez, and I guess when it became apparent that Seattle wasn't trading him, they figured, well, the next best thing is, Michael Pineda. And they gave him up for him, who was a young kid with a lot of potential, but he's kind of like Sabathia. He's a big guy. He's bigger than Sabathia, but he weighs a ton. These guys are so overweight. And already he's had trouble. He had an awful, awful training camp, awful spring training. He had some injuries, and they think it might be because of his weight. He's actually on the disabled list. And if he didn't get hurt, the odds are he was going to start the season in AAA because he was that bad during spring training. I don't get the Yankees, hold on to this kid. They could have packaged him with a couple other players that they were willing to give up for a Gio Gonzalez. You got an established guy, you know what you're going to get with him. I was kind of surprised the Yankees made that move.
Well, the Yankees, you can never count out. I've said that time and time again. And I think that they will make the playoffs, too. Whereas our arch rivals, the Cubs' arch rivals, are the Cardinals. And as you mentioned earlier, I hate to admit it, but they could do a little damage again. I really hate that. It's kind of like the Packers doing well in football against the Bears, but that's the way it's kind of looking. It's funny how time flies, Ken, and here we are already at the end of the day's show, and so much so that I'm just dying to hear what's going on in your head about this week or what's been going on in sports. What's prevalent in your mind right now?
Well, it's still baseball, even though my team is playing very, very bad. It's early. I just don't like to lose at all, especially the first four. But after all winter, waiting for waiting for next year, getting the guys back healthy, and starting like this, it's been a major disappointment. I'm waiting for the hockey playoffs to start this week, because at least the Rangers got the number one seed in the East, and hopefully they can make a run in the playoffs. Normally this time of year, the last 5 or 6 years, we've just been fighting the last week or 2 weeks of the season to grab that 8th spot. Now we actually have the number one seed all the way through, the conference, and hopefully something good will come of that.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I'll tell you, what's most on my mind is that it's baseball season, which means also, although the weather's been really, really crazy, one of the most phenomenal things about baseball is to think about the warmth, the sun. So talk about grass fields and beautiful stadiums. And although some people, they think baseball is very boring and all those things, I have news for you. There's grass and golf, too. And shy of who knows what the heck Tiger Woods is going to do next. Next thing you know, he's going to probably kick a club across the hazard. But other than that, baseball is America's pastime. It still is, no matter what anyone says. Although the Super Bowl has the most the most viewers of any televised event at any time all year round, there is a lot of hope and optimism because baseball is now here, which means summer can't be far behind. Quite frankly, I'm tired of snow, I'm tired of the cold, I'm tired of the wind. The only wind I want to see is the one that carries all those balls out of all those fields, and I think Prince Fielder is going to send quite a few out of Detroit Tiger Stadium. So welcome back, baseball, and welcome back, our listeners. You've been listening to Dreaded Sports Talk right here in Ship Ashore Radio with Frank and Dredd and Ken from Jersey. And, Ken, we're going to have a great year. We really are. And I hope you do well in fantasy.
Yeah, it started. I won my first week. And it's a long season, though. That's what's funny. It keeps you going through the summer.
Yeah, it's about that time. We'll see you guys again next week at 11:30. Look on Facebook or Twitter. We'll tell you exactly where to find that and our new handy-dandy website, which we should have here sometime in the next... It's on island time. Let's just say that. Soon come on. Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk. We'll catch you next week.